Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
To another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah and I'm your host for this episode. We're on number 127 and we got another dope interview for you here today. Catherine and I actually had the pleasure of visiting the new home of Outer Mind Studio, and you probably recognize that brand because they've worked with a pretty famous YouTuber to make some games for him. They've made Legend of the Brofist, and they also have done PewDiePie Tube Simulator, and of course, they've worked with PewDiePie himself. So, coming up at topic of this show this week, we've got an interview with Giz, who is one of the co-founders of the studio, and very energetic, and we might have had a few drinks by this time.
Might.
But before we get into that, want to introduce you to all the friendly digital people around the table. Catherine, how's it going?
I'm good. That was a good evening. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good evening. Allie, how are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
It was totally a fun evening.
Allie wasn't there. She doesn't live in Montreal anymore.
I don't. But no, I'm good.
So it's a three-lady show here for you today, but, you know, it's all good. But if you want to catch any of our past episodes, we've had quite a few, or you want to stay connected to make sure you always get the new one, you should go subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and where we host this show, Podbean. So, let's get into what everybody's been playing. I'm going to switch it up. Allie, what you playing?
ReCore.
Nice!
Yeah, I've jumped into the ReCore Definitive Edition.
Did you play the previous one?
Well, this is the original game.
Yeah, but did you play it prior when it wasn't Definitive?
No.
Okay.
Cool. No, I had not played it before now. So it's actually it's part of Xbox Game Pass, and that's why I'm playing it now. And I'm kind of really disappointed with myself for sleeping on this game so long because it is incredibly enjoyable and has made me rage more than any game recently, but in like the best possible way. If that's really, like, not totally oxymoronic. But yeah, no, I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to finishing the campaign.
Yeah, I remember playing that, but then I don't know why, if it just didn't hook me or if there was other things going on at the time at the, you know, holiday last year when it came out. I believe that's around when it was. Yeah, do you think it's worth me to go back and try again?
I mean, yeah, it's a free update, so might as well download it and give it another try. There's, instead, like, on top of graphical updates and fixes to, like, the load times and everything like that, there's actually part of it that's free DLC, so you could always try exploring that and see if it captures your interest again.
I might just do that. Catherine, how about you? What are you playing?
Still on Overwatch. Still on Assassin's Creed 2. I'm powering through that because I still remember the game. It's crazy how it's just, I didn't think I would remember it as much as I do. So my plan for the next month is to power through AC2, AC Brotherhood. And then at one point I think I should finish Breath of the Wild.
Have you, like, when you say finish, have you not made it through to Ganon yet?
No, I still have one beast to finish. But it's like I've been circling around the area where the Gerudos are to get that going. And I've just been, oh, look, there's a shrine. Oh, look, there's a Korok seed. And I'm just like, I think I don't want to finish the game. Like, physically, I'm trying to get to the area and then I just get distracted. My body's like, no, we're not. It can't end. We cannot finish this game.
You can go back.
I know, it's just, I think I love it so much I don't want it to end. It's like the first time I finished Ocarina of Time, it took me a long time to get to the final boss. I have to finish it, though. I have to. After Assassin's Creed.
It's like a good book. You're, like, so excited and you just can't put it down, but then you're like, when it's over, you're like, damn.
You know, I think I never finished Final Fantasy X for that reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
That was an emotional story, too.
Wasn't it?
It was really hard, and I quit just before the final boss because, well, I needed to grind to level up because I was a bit under level. And I just kind of used that as an excuse to not finish it. And then a few years later, I just sat down with my best friend, Guillaume, who's a huge fan of that game. And I told him, like, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to finish it. The PS2's packed. And he explained to me the end of the game. And eventually I watched the ending on YouTube. And I was not okay after. I was not okay. Even if it was, like, a good chunk of time between me not playing the game and me, like, I wonder how this game ends. And then I just watched the YouTube video and I was like, oh god, my heart, why? So games are that sometimes.
Still has one of the best video game songs in Suki Dane.
Yeah,
like, you say Final Fantasy and that's all I hear in my head.
You know, my mom actually has all of the albums she could find of Final Fantasy music on piano,
like, really?
The composer, and I forget his name.
I know we wrote about it a while back. There was something, it was an article on the site. You guys should go check it out, of like our favorite video game soundtracks.
Yeah. My mom found all the Final Fantasy played on piano by the composer. I'm going to get roasted because I forgot his name, but it's just on the tip of my tongue.
Nobu? No.
Yeah, Nobuo Uematsu. I'm butchering that. But anyway, he's a brilliant piano player. And my mom fell in love with it, and she still listens to Final Fantasy piano music to this day. And it's not because I play the game, it's just because the music's so good. And for me, Final Fantasy haunts me a lot because of the music and the stories.
It's very true.
That was a long, what are you playing this week? We were talking about games that I'm not playing. That I should be playing and finishing.
Speaking of, like, should be finishing yet having way too much fun to get there, Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle is my new obsession. Like, I need to pack this evening because I'm going away for 10 days and I'm flying tomorrow for 5 hours and I can't wait. And I'm like, ugh, flight. But 5 hours dedicated to being able to play Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and I am so stoked. I am, like, powering through that game, but not in the sense that, like, going through and playing every I go through and play the levels and then go back and redo everything again to be able to, like, level up higher and make sure I have everything perfect. It's a little bit, and I realized something while playing this game, to probably the annoyance of my husband, I talk to myself way too much when I play games. Like, I have conversations about, like, the patterns I'm going to use and the mechanics, and I yell at myself, like, that's a dumb move, and I have to restart the level. It's terrible. But yeah, no, seriously, if you have a Switch, you need to go try this game. Like, I can't say it enough. And, like, I'm seriously, I'm not finished it yet, and I can't put it down. It's like, yeah, I can't bring it to work because I'm afraid if I'll start playing at lunchtime, then I'll miss my 1 o'clock meeting because conveniently I'm still playing Switch. But yeah, so good. All right, let's get into the news right after this break. And it's time for some news of the week. Catherine, what do you got?
So Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct to announce their lineup of Nindies. So all these games will be coming out through 2018. There's a good, like, 10, 15 games easy. But what caught my eye, and I was not expecting that, Floor Kids is coming to the Switch.
Yay!
I don't know if you remember that one. We've seen them at the Montreal Independent Game Festival. It's an iPad game where you're a B-boy and you have to make your B-boy or your B-girl dance. And it's with an original soundtrack composed by DJ Koala.
Yeah, Kid Koala's so awesome. I was so stoked to see this when we were at the Independent Game Festival.
Well, I'm just happy to see that, like, there's just, like, this new studio, Montreal studio, coming to the Switch. It Because when we tried it, he was saying it was basically just an iPad game, a mobile game for tablet and phones.
That was like, what, this time last year? October last year? So, I mean, it's been a little while, but I guess as soon as they opened up the whole Nindies thing, they jumped right on it.
Yep, yep. So, but amongst other game, there is a bridge building simulator called Polybrid, and there's a game called Sausage Sports Club, and it's little floppy animals, a physics-based multiplayer game, and it's just animals competing on a reality TV show, and they're just like built like sausages. It's weird. You just gotta watch the trailer. I was just like, this is bringing Nintendo the Switch to a whole new level, like opening it up to independent games that are probably a bit out of the scope of what Nintendo does. So,
totally. You know what? The thing about the Nindies is they could really fill a hole for Nintendo, because the major thing that we've been talking about Nintendo for the past two consoles is the fact that, you know, okay, cool, they got a major set of first party games, but where's the third? Where's the third party? But now Nindies are kind of like replacing that completely. And the thing is like, when you've got titles like, you know, Snipperclips, that is super solid, and you've got Stardew Valley coming, which unfortunately didn't get any news in this Nintendo Direct, and that's what I was waiting for. Like, it's like the offers are kind of spectacular to think about. Like, in the time you're waiting between big Nintendo titles, there's a slew of other games at solid prices for you to play.
Yeah, and a lot of these games look like good time wasters. Something to have on your Switch when you just have a few minutes to, you know, to waste, like a quick commute or just waiting for a friend. Instead of crushing candies, you can play Floor Kids.
Totally. Totally. How about you, Allie? What's up?
What am I bringing to the table this afternoon, this evening? Yeah, this evening. I just want to, it's not really a news story, but it was an unveiling that happened earlier this afternoon upon recording this. Destiny 2's live action trailer was released today. And it's pretty freaking awesome.
And I know you guys were very apprehensive about the concept of a live action Destiny trailer.
What?
That's what it sounded like in chat. Everybody was nervous about the fact that it was going to be live action.
No, because they did a live action one for the first game.
Oh, okay. Scratch that.
And the expansions, yeah. No.
Oh, okay. No, it sounded like in chat when I was reading it today. Mind you, I was doing 50 gazillion other things. It sounded like in Discord that people were like, live action? And they were kind of like... But that's me misunderstanding things, I guess.
No, that's the usual. But I would like to know how Bungie got... permission to use my likeness as that Titan. Could be caring about the puppies in the live action trailer. Because if there's anything worth fighting for,
it's puppies.
Yeah.
I didn't know who you were talking about for a second. Then I was like, oh yeah, the puppy meme. And then that was spamming chat for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Puppies and loot. Those are pretty darn important. And Destiny's got both of them. So.
That was a
hard... But no, it was...
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
That was a hard thing to watch because, like, they were exploding things and all of a sudden there was a puppy on screen. And I was like, no!
Destiny's not that messed up. But I thought it was awesome. We got to see, a live-action Cade 6 voiced by Nathan Fillion, who's honestly one of the best voice actors. Not only that, he's a talented real actor, but him lending his voice to Cade has just been an awesome experience so far. And they used Sabotage from the Beastie Boys in the live-action trailer, and it felt so badass, because that's, like, watching it felt like how you feel when you complete, or when you're doing a raid in Destiny, or even a Nightfall or whatever. It was pretty freaking awesome. So if you haven't already seen it by now, which you should have already seen it by now, you should definitely go check it out.
Yeah, in a perfect world where we are actually the video game characters doing all these badass things.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think I would be.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I would grab a big gun and shoot it to save puppies.
Exactly.
I've got a piece of news for us. So you remember, I think it was a little while ago, maybe a few weeks ago, we discussed potentially esports coming to the Olympics. We'll hold your horses on that one because I don't think it's going to happen. So some news articles have been passed around the internet today. An interview was conducted with the International Olympic Committee's president, Thomas Bach, and he threw his two cents in on the situation. And quote, he says, "We want to promote non-discrimination, non-violence, and peace among people. So this means it doesn't match with video games, which are about violence, explosions, and killing. And there we have to draw a clear line." That was a fart noise from Allie. So here's the thing. There are certain games that would fit this, like FIFA. Like a basketball game.
Or Overcooked.
Or Overcooked, if that was an esports game.
It totally could be.
But all the games that we're actually used to watching, like CSGO or Overwatch, they don't count. And the only thing that could potentially count, Rocket League could work. Because that's RC cars playing soccer. But yeah, things like Street Fighter, where there's no blood and people don't die, kind of iffy. And the stuff that I think Dota, you actually fall down, but like get knocked out and dragged back to the portal, like to respawn. That could potentially work, but there's still violence and explosions and things. So I think we're a little bit far from ever really getting esports in the Olympics.
So we're saying an outdated organization has outdated opinions and knowledge regarding video games? Gasp! I am shocked. And I would like to point out that this article also points out that the International Olympic Committee representative. Oh, sorry, he's the president.
He's the president. He's the president of the IOC. Yeah.
He won the gold medal for fencing in the 1976 Olympics. So if he wants to talk about simulated violence, he should probably be a little bit more well-versed in it than he is. But, personally, I don't care about the Olympics. I think they're super outdated. I think that they cause more turmoil between countries than they do friendships and stuff like that and friendly competition.
They break local economies. It's horrible how bad they do it.
Montreal is still paying for our Olympic stadium.
It is, and it's the one where Bruce Jenner won.
It's a long time ago.
That's in the
76. No, 84 was in Calgary.
That's where Bruce Jenner won all of his medal.
Look,
back when he was an athlete and a dude.
Look, I love the Olympics. I love the idea of people getting together for the beauty of sport and the, you know, human excellence and athletics. But like, yeah, there's some shady shit that goes down. But at the same time, it's like, really, this is what you're going to like. To hold back from this. It seems like a cop out. It really seems like a cop out.
It does.
This is from
they have shooting in, but they're not shooting people. They're shooting targets. Like in those, like, they're not triathlons or decathlons, but you know the ones where you like ski and then you have to lie down and you shoot things. And then there's stuff like fencing. And then there's wrestling. And then there's all this other kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like
it's also an organization that still held their competition in Russia, even though they were incarcerating and beating people for being gay. And they decided not to cancel the event because Russia was like, well, we're not going to beat your gays. They can come to the Olympic and compete, but we're still going to beat our local gays.
It's correct.
And then they're like, yeah, we don't like violence in video games.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think that I don't think it's important that esports should be in the Olympics. I think that, like I said, I think it's outdated. I think if anything, we should just be aiming higher for esports than the Olympics, which is going to end up happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the viewership will be
at
one point better than that of the Olympics.
Guaranteed.
So, I mean, whatever. If you don't want our video games, that's fine. We'll do our own thing with them. But honestly, I agree with you, Leah. I think it sounds like a total excuse and a cop-out. It definitely does not sound like they've done their research at all.
Yeah, that's the truth. And, you know, the Olympics are struggling. Like, I've heard stories where, like, it's hard to, it's an expensive endeavor for media companies to like dedicate 16 days pure programming just to that, to ship an entire team, all the production value, all that kind of stuff. And then because they're not getting the viewerships, you know, they can't sell the advertising. So it's tough. So why wouldn't you want to put in a competition that people are dying to watch? Like, and bringing in the target demo you want. This is the these are the crew of folks that are buying stuff, right? It just, it seems a little ass backwards, but who are we to say, right?
Well, I mean, there's a whole battle in the world of media right now when it comes to millennials and things like that. And it's just, habits are changing and people are not evolving, organizations are not evolving. And, you know, if the Olympics want to die their slow death along with traditional TV and traditional broadcasted radio, they're welcome to. Bye. Bye, Felicia.
There's Catherine's two cents on the whole situation.
I'm going to watch esports on Twitch and Mixer, and I'm going to subscribe to Netflix and Google Play Music, and everybody else can suck it.
There you go. Yeah,
pretty much.
All right, it's time for us to get into topic of the show. And this week, we've got an interview with Giz, who is one of the co-founders of Outer Mind Studio right here in Montreal, Quebec. Worked on some awesome games, including two from the one, the only, PewDiePie. All right, we're getting into that right after this break.
Okay, I'm sitting across a physical table and a cocktail from Giz, who is the co-founder at Outer Mind Studio, and we're in their brand new house. How's it going, Giz?
Very good, and you, Leah?
Very good. Thank you for, like, inviting us to your amazing new space here in downtown Montreal.
Well, thank you for coming. I'm not comfortable. I haven't spoken English for a while.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
Everything is well. So for folks, they know the Outer Minds brand because it's, you know, associated with a pretty big YouTuber, right?
Yeah, we're mostly known for being the developer who did the two PewDiePie games.
Right, exactly.
PewDiePie Legend of the Brewfist and PewDiePie's Tuber Simulator.
Awesome. All right, but I want to go back in time, okay?
Let's go.
All right, because when I was doing my research, it was actually a little bit of a challenge to find out some, like, you know, beginnings of Outer Mind Studio.
Okay,
so bring us back to, like, when you guys were maybe a tadpole.
I like that.
Huh.
Yeah, so the Outer Minds project was an idea by Sylvain Savard, who is our art director.
Yeah.
Nicolas Brunet-Messier and Alexandre Caron, who are two of our programmers.
Yep.
And I was added to found Outer Minds as the guy who is doing everything besides programming and art.
Jack of all trades he is.
The guy on the stage with the microphone. No, so we founded Outer Minds. We're going to celebrate our third anniversary pretty soon. And yes, our first game was Tadpole Tap, an infinite runner. And as our first game, we had over 1 million downloads.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we were in the top five games on the Time magazine at one point. So as a bunch of four kids, it was pretty cool.
Nice. So how did you guys all get introduced to one another? What brought you together?
The big question. The two others, so Sylvain, Alex, and Nicolas, were working in the industry for years.
Okay.
Together, or sometimes they were separate, sometimes they were in the same company, and they decided at one point, we want to have our own company, do our own games, own stuff, and everything. And I was introduced to Sylvain, the art director, at Douter.tv with Tommy Godet. At that time, I was doing we're doing a live stream about video games. Well, I was talking about video games because that's my stuff. They were talking about everything else. And Sylvain Savard came. He did some pixel art for the organization. And we talked about pixels and stuff. And this is how we met. And yeah, that's how we were brought together. And then we talked about video games. And then Outer Minds was founded.
And now it's here. And you have a space. But in between having a space and the Tadpole Tap, you got introduced to the one and only PewDiePie. So how did all that pan out? Because you guys have done two games with him now. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys, you know, get approached? Did he come to you? Did you go to him? How did it all go down?
He actually did. There was a game jam online. Yep. So a bunch of developer making game in less than 48 hours on gamejolt.com. The team was fun to play and fun to watch. And the top 10 would have the chance to be played by PewDiePie himself on his channel.
Wow.
Which is already crazy.
Right.
Because at the time it was at this peak, and just like saying PewDiePie as a game developer was huge. And before the vote were done, PewDiePie DM'd us on Twitter. And he said, I really like your style. I really like what you did. Would you like to make exactly the same, but bigger, better, longer? So he liked our game and said, do you want to make exact? So the people are asking, why did you make a platformer as your first game? It's mm-hmm. because PewDiePie asked for it. He said, I like that. Please make it bigger, better, longer.
Awesome.
I still got the tweet.
I love it. Do you have? You guys need to get that framed and like put it on the wall over here.
We should, huh?
You should. Blow it up.
Oh, I'll do
Blow
it.
That nonsense up. Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So how long from like the conception when you guys like got introduced, all that stuff through the game jam, did it take you to develop the full game and then launch?
First of all, I just wanted to say that we didn't win the game jam.
You didn't?
No, we finished fifth.
You finished fifth, yet he still loved what you did.
Yeah,
see, look, guys, it's not always finishing first.
Imagine the team that finished first and they're like, what's happening?
So then why didn't you finish first? What happened there?
That's another question for another time. So let's talk about the next one.
I see some salt, but hey, who cares? You won in the game of life.
We won the bigger prize,
yes, exactly.
In my opinion.
The game of life. There you go. So yeah, so how long did it take from the, you know, from that moment where you guys got that tweet and he was like, you know, go balls to the wall, make the full game, did you guys launch?
I take about between 8 and 10 months.
Well, that's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. And what was really very fun about the game is that we use this fan base to choose a lot of stuff. Like, even the title was chosen by the fans. So we said, hey, what should be the name of the game? And then PewDiePie tweeted. And then within a day, we have over 25,000 suggestions to sort. So what we did, we like Frankenstein them into 5 teams that were like coming more often.
Yeah.
And then the fan voted again for those 5. And that's how PewDiePie Legend of the Brofist was born. And we were so sure that Super PewDiePie Bros would win that we started making assets.
Really?
And probably that a normal company would say, hey, the vote is not public anyway, so we'll go on with that. We said, no, let's scratch everything and do it again. And the fans talked, and that's the name of the game. And we even asked them what should be the enemies in the game, for example. And again, 24 hours later, 25,000 suggestions to sort.
So, does that make it more challenging when developing a game? To use the community as like your you know, like little think tank? It's a pretty large think tank.
I think the only dangerous thing is that you have to make sure that the game doesn't look like a pizza. Like, everyone is asking for stuff and they don't work together, don't do it. But in that case, since the game was a platformer with different worlds and a lot of the enemies could be adapted to mostly anywhere, I think it was pretty cool, and the fans were super involved, and that's how PewDiePie got super popular. He's very involved, and like, he's engaged with his fan. So let's rinse and repeat and do it ourselves.
Right. It makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. So game launches, comes out to great reviews. Yeah, did really well. And then you guys decided to jump on something a little different and go back... I guess it kind of feels like you guys jumped around in the styles of games. You go from like a endless runner to a platformer to Tube Simulator, which is more like a, you know, it's a role-playing game in sense.
It's kind of SimCity meets The Sims meets...
Tiny Town.
Okay. Or maybe like a game like Adventure Capitalist, you know. One of those idler. So it's super tough to explain what Tuber Simulator is, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, it's not unique. Yes, it is. Explain it. just try.
You were a YouTuber, and you must build your channel.
And it's so meta. Like, I love the Rolling Stone article about it. Explained that it's probably the end of the world because the game is so meta. It's about a YouTuber doing YouTube videos, and it's like the loop is closed.
If someone had to analyze this as part of like a thesis statement of a PhD or a master's, they would be like, their mind would explode.
Probably.
Yeah. So how did you guys, where did that idea come from? And when did it the whole process start?
At first, we wanted to make a free game for PewDiePie's fans because at first PewDiePie said, like, the first game was super cool. It was a paid game.
Right.
Some of my fans were disappointed because they couldn't buy it. So let's make a small games for the fan. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting like a 3 months project. So we started working on something, and then we're like, oh my God, Felix, we got something. His real name is Felix. Like, oh my God, Felix, we got something. Like, give us another month. And then give us another month. And then give us another month. And the game was getting bigger, bigger, and bigger, and more complete. At first, it was just supposed to be a simple idler. But we're like, no, we're not that kind of company. We don't do small cash grab games. So let's make something big. And this is how Tuber Simulator was born.
Okay, I love it. So recently you guys had the fantasy update with Tube Simulator. And this is what I love about Tube Simulator is like, it's very much like you as the person, like placing yourself in the shoes of PewDiePie and how he would run your life and your YouTube channel. And like the fantasy update is like right up my alley with, you know, the unicorns and everything, right? As you can probably tell, I have rainbow colored hair. So why did you guys decide to go this route so that, you know, the user really takes over the game and how they play?
Well, everyone that watch YouTubes, like I went to to some school events, and when I was a kid, the kids wanted to be a police officer or an astronaut. Now over 50% of the kids, when they ask what they want to do, they don't say a soccer player or an astronaut or a policeman. They say, I want to be a YouTuber.
What do you think that is?
Well, it's normal. It looks like a great life. You make videos in your room, and this looks great as a kid. And you're popular, you go to event, everything seems cool, because when you edit a video, everything seems cool about you because you don't show what's not cool.
True.
So I understand that everyone wants to be a YouTuber. So this is why we made a game about yourself being a YouTuber, with humor, of course, like using views to buy stuff. Because in real life, it's almost that, because the more views you get, the more sponsors /
ad revenue.
Revenues you get.
That YouTube algorithm.
Yeah, that YouTube algorithm, evil algorithm. But yeah, so it's super meta. It's yourself in the game. Everyone could be super artistic about it. Like all the rooms are so different. Like at first it was so crazy. Like the first pixel art stuff, there was nothing meant to be pixel arted at the beginning in the game, and people were doing it with small objects. We're like, oh, let's bring it to the game. So people were so, like, creative with that. It was crazy. And I think that this is a part of the success of the game, because people wanted to show, and then you can vote for the best ones. And yeah,
that's it. That's like the perfect lead into my next question, in that Yay. The share factor of Tube Simulator is really awesome. Like, just looking at like the hashtag on Twitter, it's like so much cool stuff. What are some of the coolest and craziest things that you've seen fans create?
Oh, you were talking about the fantasy update?
Well, fantasy, yeah.
One of my favorites was the between good and evil. People were like making half of their room like looks like hell, and the other one was with clouds and like super beautiful with rainbows and unicorns. You like unicorns, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I do. Nice.
and again, some of my favorite stuff was when people started making pixel art without knowing there was pixel art, and then people were trying to build second floors. So they were using objects to put under, and they were building like a mezzanine. I was like, okay.
So you guys designed the space to be one room, and then people are like, no, I need two and a circular staircase.
Yeah.
And like, I love it. That's the coolest thing I find about these types of games too, especially because PewDiePie is very much about creativity and that kind of stuff too, is that he brings that out in his fans. And I feel he brought it out in you guys too. Just the fact that you were like, oh, we struck gold with this Tube Simulator thing. Just wait, PewDiePie. Just give us a few extra months. Like, that must be so awesome as a creator to be given that kind of freedom to make what you want, and then have this game that you can keep updating and adding cool stuff to. And people still playing.
This is what I loved about Felix, is that working with him, we're just... like when we're talking, he's not like a YouTube star. We're just like a bunch of kids like having fun on Skype, showing Sylvain, the art director, was showing art he made, and Felix was like, "Oh my god, that's so awesome! Did we went too far? No, let's put this in a game." And it was just a bunch of kids, and we're not working, and we're paid for that. That's crazy.
Life is good.
Yes.
So what's coming next to Tube Simulator?
Huh.
The real questions start
we're
now.
We're celebrating the first anniversary in a month.
Amazing.
So that proves that the game is still very alive.
It is.
We're still getting like tons of people playing. Like the events are super, like everything is strong about the game. Every time we launch an update, there's always people on Twitter saying, "Oh, this game is dead. No one is playing." And I'm looking at the analytics on my computer. I'm like, "Yes, troll. Keep talking. No one's playing. Yeah, sure." So I don't want to spoil what's coming, but we're still gonna do stuff. And again, Halloween is coming soon, so
stay tuned.
Wink,
right?
Wink. There's probably gonna be an Halloween.
So Halloween
update.
And the fact that it's the
Christmas.
1 year.
Maybe
Christmas.
1 year.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know.
So we're here celebrating the launch of your new space. Wonderful new space. What does the future bring for you guys in your new home alongside Tube Simulator?
It's very nice to have our own space. We used to be in an amazing space called the Gameplay Space.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best as a developer to be with all those other people. Like as developers, we could ask questions to each other. It was very great. But we're growing and growing and growing. And when we were 17, we're like, okay, we need our own space. Like mm-hmm. we were so loud in that space, and we felt like we were like everywhere. So no, having our own space is amazing. We're now 23.
Wow.
In that space, we can be up to 35.
Wow.
And the floor upstairs not rented. So, you know, if we expand and it's still available, who knows?
I was talking to the owner of the building earlier. And he was like, yeah, I wanted to put them on the 15th floor. But they wanted to go on the 14th because magically there's no 13. You're already in building 666.
Yes. And we got the 13th floor.
There you go.
It's the 14th, but we all know it's the 13th.
The truth is real. Kiz, thank you so much.
Thank
and the
you.
Best of luck with your beautiful new space.
Thank you very
and
much for coming.
I can't wait to see more.
And thank you for covering tech. I'm going to say that to everyone.
Oh, wow. Well, we love doing it, so we're not going to stop.
Sweet.
And that pretty much closes out our show this week. Of course, want to thank our wonderful host, Fun.io. If you're looking for web hosting, being it something large and you need a VPS server, or something small and you need just like a WordPress blog, something simple, something easy, go check them out. Stream schedule, stream team, all that jazz. Ladies are all going strong with the guys as well. And we're still looking for folks. If you feel like joining our team on Mixer, just drop us a line on Twitter at The Girls on Games. Catherine, we got a bunch of news on the go right now, don't we?
Yes. So first off, for those of you who are in the Montreal area on September 14th, Leah and I will be participating in a charity game show benefiting Interling, which is a local organization that helps LGBTQ youth. So it's organized with YouTube Montreal and our friends at GamerZone. So if you're interested in attending that, just head to our Facebook or our Twitter. I've posted the links for you to purchase your tickets. And if you use code GIRLSONGAMES at checkout, you'll save $5. So go check that out. Also, we're taking a break.
For a week.
Just for a week. Because Leah is traveling and I am knee deep in renovations and things like that. So we decided for the first time since Leah's wedding, the podcast is taking a break. However, if you haven't listened to our new podcast, organized and hosted by Simon of Buffs and Nerfs, now's the time to catch up. There are two episodes out. It is an esports podcast. They cover news and esports, and then they discuss a topic. There are our panel is very knowledgeable. There's the Max who follows Rocket League. There's Alban who's Dota 2 CSGO. There's Simon who's CSGO. And then there's Marie who's Overwatch and a bit of everything. And if you love esports or you want to learn more about the scene, it's great. It's available on girlsongames.ca, or you can search for Buffs and Nerfs on iTunes and Google Play.
Perfect. All right. Want to thank Kat and Allie for being on the show. Want to thank Giz, of course, and Simon for editing this masterpiece. Want to give you guys the chance to shout out your social media handles so people can track you down. Kat, where can people find you?
I am CSDESBINS on Twitter, Instagram, and most gaming platforms.
How about you, Allie?
They can find me as 8-Bit Blonde on Xbox Live, Mixer, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Awesome. I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms. And you should probably follow me because I have a few really interesting adventures planned during this little break. Besides my work, I'm also going to San Francisco. Follow me, Leah Jewer. Trust me, it'll be good. But of course, everything you need to know is on Girls on Games, and you can track us down. The Girls on Games on Facebook and Twitter. Girls on Games on Snapchat. You can continue this wonderful conversation about video games and more on our Discord channel. On our Discord channel. That's discord.me/girlsongames. But of course, anything you ever need to know is on our home base. That's girlsongames.ca. So once again, have a wonderful 2 weeks. We'll see you very soon. And happy gaming. Have a good one. Ciao.